They have somebody, all they do is go around to schools, high schools, or what have you. They have a place in Hagerstown or each of the cities, a recruitment office, trying to get young people to come in and join up, sign up. I want to talk to you about being recruited by Jesus. Tell the story of recruiters went to high school and they each were giving their say, you know. I believe it was the Army was walking, the man recruiter was walking back and forth across the stage. We'll make a man out of you. We'll make a man out of you. And say the Marine recruiter got up after him and said, if you're not a man already, we don't want you. My text is John chapter 1. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher. Where are you staying? And he said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two heard John speak and followed him. It was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, Jesus, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Heavenly Father, this is your word that you've given to us. The undivided, Word of God, inspired, infallible, the truth written by your command. Help us to look into this word today. And oh Lord, anoint this tongue and this soul and spirit of mine to minister this word and share it, so that Master will have some new recruits signing up. Holy Spirit, we need you. Touch our hearts and our minds. Draw us closer to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You remember going down the road some years ago? How many remember that poster you used to see? Uncle Sam saying, "I want you." I lived in that era. Now, you young guys, you don't remember that. It's there it is. Uncle Sam was saying, "I want you." Or, "Be all that you can be." If you're not there yet, if you join the army, you can be all that you can be. Or there was that other one more recently, "An army of one." Thank you, Emily, for sharing those posters with us and bringing us up to date. I wonder if Jesus were making a pitch. What would be his statement? What would he say? What is the recruiting pitch that Jesus would use? Well, I think we can look at this passage of Scripture and we can see what he would say. Number one, I think, is he would say, "What do you seek?" It's what he said to these disciples that left John the Baptist to come follow him. Remember, we read Jesus turned to them when he saw them following and said, "What do you seek?" Jesus wanted them to know what it was that they were looking for, seeking for. John the Baptist had just told them that this man was the Lamb of God. Oh, wow. You're walking along with John. John's baptizing people. He's preaching out in the wilderness. He has a Botany 500 on, huh? Camel hair. And he's eating at Hoss's. No, locusts and wild honey. Not too many young preachers would want to follow him. But he's walking along, he sees this man that is walking by him, and he says to his disciples, "There is the Lamb of God." John had already told them that Jesus would take away the sin of the world. Wow! What kind of a man is this? He's the Lamb of God, and he can take away the sin that is in the world. You know, the world had become so sinful that in the antediluvian period, God smote the earth with judgment and flooded the world till every living thing died. Only Noah and his family were spared. And yet here, John the Baptist is telling these disciples, this man, the Lamb of God, can take away the sin of the world, all of the bad stuff, the evil stuff. He can wash it all out of their hearts and lives. Jesus is the one that John saw the Holy Spirit descend out of heaven in the form of a dove, came down over top of Jesus, and the voice of God the Father spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." How'd you like to be sitting in church some Sunday morning And all of a sudden you hear the voice of God begin to speak. Oh, wow. I believe most of us would probably hit our knees, huh? John saw this, shared this with his disciples. John declared that Jesus would baptize his followers not with water, but he would baptize them with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, wow.
Hallelujah.
Now that John's disciples decided to follow Jesus, he wanted them to be sure of what they were seeking. They replied, "Where are you staying?" I think they just spit that out for whatever reason. Caught them off guard. You know, there are some people that are following preachers and this one and that one for what they can get out of it. Hello. Oh, bless me. I want to follow the one that can bless me. I want to follow the one where the great things going on. People are shouting or laughing or falling on the floor and all of that sort of thing. I want to follow them. Jesus wanted them to be sure. Because Jesus knew where he was headed. He was headed for the cross. He had come to die. And if he was going to die, these disciples who would follow him, if they weren't in it for the big signs and the big wonders, they were in it for the death. What are you seeking, Jesus? What are you seeking from Jesus by following him? What are you up to? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Are you in it just for the blessings, or are you in it for the sacrifice as well? Why are you following? Why are you in church? Plenty of people that didn't go to church this morning. Plenty of people that sit at home. I was on Facebook this past week, and the gentleman that I know, he put a picture of a boat on. He was going to go fishing with his buddies, and they had the boat loaded down with beer. And they were saying to each other, "Boy, we're going to have to drink a lot of beer out there while we're fishing." And I put my note down at the bottom. Are you going to take Jesus with you on this trip? That ended the conversation. Jesus around? Do we want to follow him? Jesus wants you to really be sure as to why you're following him. He said to them, the second part of his recruiting statement, "Come and see." Where do you stay, Jesus? He said, "Come and see." Instead of "I want you," Jesus said, "Come and see." Jesus said to these first disciples, "I want you to follow me." They asked for information. Jesus understood that they wanted more than information, and he offered them relationship. "Come with me," he was saying. "Be with me. Find out about me." Is that what you want from Jesus? Is that why you're following him? Because you want to be with him. You want to see who he really is. You want to have relationship with him. Stories told about someone who was raised in a religious home, and they were under the impression that whatever they were told about church and serving God, that's what they had to believe. And there was never to ask any questions about it. But what Jesus is saying is, come and see for yourself. Experience what being with Jesus is like. See what he has to offer. Come and see what He has to give to you in your life. I like the experience that I've had. Amen? How many of you enjoy the experience of following Christ in a relationship?
Yes.
A few verses later, when Philip went to Nathanael and with the good news about Jesus, and when Nathanael raised doubts, what did Philip repeat to Nathanael? What did he tell him? Same thing, Jesus. Come and see. Nathanael, come and see for yourself. Come, follow Him. Come, have relationship with Him. That's the very same thing, offer that the shepherds on the hillside in Bethlehem 30 years earlier heard from the angels. They said, come and see a child who is born as your Savior. Hallelujah. Then 3 years later after this, two women went to the tomb to see Jesus in the early morning, and the angels were sitting inside, and they said, come and see the place where Jesus... I'm saying to you today, come and see Jesus for yourself. Experience Him. Have relationship with Him. That's His recruitment statement. Come and see for yourself the goodness of the Lord. Amen? That's the invitation, just like Philip gave. That's the invitation that you and I need to use to recruit other people to Christ. You tell them the story about Jesus and what He means to your life, and then you say, come and experience yourself. Come and see who Christ is. His second recruiting statement was, follow Me. Next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, He said to him, follow Me. S.I. McMillan, in his book, None of These Diseases, tells the story of a young woman who wanted to go to college. And so she filled out her application and answering the questions. And one of the questions said, are you a leader? Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote, no. Returned the application, expecting the worst. A few days later, she got an answer back from the college, and they said to her, dear applicant, a study of the application form reveals that this year in college we will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower. Jesus didn't make His recruitment statement saying, come, take over. He made His recruitment statement saying, come, follow Me. That's the invitation Jesus makes to Philip and to you and I. Follow Me. Relationship requires that we walk in the same path. Christ doesn't call us to do nothing. He calls us to something, and that is to follow Him. No longer to walk in the path of our own choosing, but to walk in His path, a path doing what is right. Did you hear Brother Caleb this morning? He's saying, if I'm in charge, if I'm the one making the decision, I'll make a mess out of it. What did he say? He said in the song, I want to follow Him. I want Him to lead. He calls us to come and see if He is trustworthy. And those who trust in Him, He calls to follow. Thirdly, In his recruitment, he says, bring your friends. When my son signed up for the military, the army, 24 years ago, almost 11 months, he and a friend went. Didn't tell us anything about it. Just went and signed up, come home and told us, we're leaving. Well, his friend got in there to camp, boot camp, and found out it wasn't his kind of life. He was looking for somebody to break his arm. Literally. And in a few days, he was out. He was gone. Bring your friends, says Jesus. First thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. How many of you have told somebody, I have found the Messiah. I have found the Savior. I have found the one who can redeem you. I have found the one who can take care of your boatload of beer cans. Come and see the one that I have found. That's what Andrew did with Simon. He brought him. And guess what? Simon joined up. I heard the story many years ago about a preacher. He was wanting revival in his church, and so he went downtown and found two old drunks. And he said to them, he said, I need a spiritual move in my church. I'll give you guys $25 apiece. You come to church Sunday night, and when I give the altar call, you come down to the altar. I need revival. And so the old drunks, you know, they wanted 25 bucks apiece, so they showed up. And when he gave the altar call down, they came staggering to the altar. And when they got down in the altar, the pastor said, now congregation, come on up and let's pray them through. Did you get that? He turned the table on them. Well, that was one way of getting people into church. There's all kinds of ways. You can offer to take them out to dinner after church. You can offer to have them over to the house if they come to church. You can do all sorts of things, but tell them you have found the Messiah. Amen. Bring them. That's part of the recruitment. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What has Jesus done for you? Somebody tell me right quick. What has Jesus done for you?
Life.
Have you told your neighbors that? All right. Have you told all your relatives that? Well, not all of them. I still got some I've got to get to as well. But, Sister Nola, what has Jesus done for you?
Saved
me. Hallelujah. Especially when you find a new life in Christ, tell your neighbor, tell everybody. I remember some years ago, Brother Al was with me in my car, and we were out, went someplace, and we turned into Bear Drive, and somebody was coming out that knew him, saw him in my car. We stopped, and they were chatting back and forth to each other. He looked down, and he saw me in the car, the preacher, and he said, what are you doing riding with the preacher? The Lord has changed me.
Hallelujah.
I'm not the same bar hopping, fighting O'Connor that I used to be. Of course, you all remember the story of Brother West when he got saved down here on Whitehall Road in the community center there in church, and I mean, he was rough. He had a chaw of tobacco in his mouth that stuck out twice as big. And anywhere you saw him, you saw that. If you crossed him, he hit you. He didn't ask questions. He just hit you. It was over. You were laying on the ground looking up. He came to that old altar down there. We had chairs lined up. That was our altar down there. And God got a hold of him. He found himself bawling, and he didn't know what in the world was going on. He was getting upset. He came to church that Sunday night, came to the altar Monday morning, went to work at the county roads and said, "Boss, do I need to get a new Social Security number?" "Well, I don't know why." "Because you got a new man on the job." Amen. You tell somebody, tell the world, tell everybody around you. Don't be backward. Don't be bashful. Get on the elevator when the door goes shut. Say, "I'm going up. How about you?"
Amen.
That's what they did. That's his recruitment call. Bring your friends. Stories told about a young salesman. Disappointed, he lost a great big sale. He was talking to his manager and kind of complaining, you know. And he finally said, "I guess you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink." The manager, a wise sales manager, looked back at him and said, "Son, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty." The world needs Jesus. The world's dying for Jesus. They're trying to find him in heroin. They're trying to find relief in their narcotics and their booze and in their reefers and whatever else they have out there. They're trying to find it in their pornography and in their anger and their fighting and what have you. They're trying to find the answer to life. They're empty. They're needing something to fill their life up. You have the answer.
Amen.
Invite them to follow Jesus. Tell them, "Come and see." Bring them to the house of God. Invite them to see the change in your life, in your heart. Invite them to experience the presence of God that people have when they come to worship the Lord. I know when they first walk in the door here at Emmanuel Chapel, they're going to be scared straight. They'll look and see hands going up and clapping and people singing and tears rolling down their eyes, and they're going to sit there, "Oh, what did I get myself into?" But when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of their heart, He'll take their stony hearts and make a heart of flesh. How many of you used to have stony hearts? And God has melted and molded you into a heart of flesh. You see, your job is not to make them drink. Your job is to make them thirsty for Jesus, for the good things of Christ. I began with the proposition that Jesus' recruiting pitch, His invitation, has remained the same. He hasn't changed His. Army has changed theirs. Jesus hasn't. He says, "Come and see. Experience me," He's saying, "in relationship. Experience my presence. Experience my power." And then He invites to follow. And He invites us to bring with us others to experience this supernatural journey. Jesus said to John the Revelator, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' Who whosoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the gift of life freely and drink of the water of life. Jesus wants you to be his recruit. Are you ready to sign up? How many is ready to sign on the dotted line? Now my boy, when he signed on the dotted line, didn't know he was going to be doing hand-to-hand combat in Iraq. He didn't know he'd be leading troops where the ammunition would run all. And it was up to he and both and his men that he had under his rule and command to take care of business and defeat the enemy. He signed up to be a soldier, put a uniform on. But let me tell you, it wasn't too long till they got down to business. I'm going to tell you, when you sign up and recruit with Jesus, it's not going to be long till you know you got to get down to business. You got to deal with those people that are looking for other things to fill their life. And you have the answer. You've got to be able to get out there in the trenches and make them thirsty for Jesus. Amen. How many are ready to sign up to make people thirsty for Jesus? Stand up with me this morning. I'm thirsty to bring people. How many know somebody that needs to be in church? Yes. How many know somebody that needs to be saved? Yes. Do you know Jesus can save them in the living room?
That's right.
Do you know Jesus can save them in the car going down the road?
Yes.
Do you know that Jesus doesn't need an altar in a church to get people saved? You can get them saved in the woods while you're hunting. Just point the 30-06 and say, hey! A little bit like that barber. He got saved and the Lord changed his life. And he went to barbering on Monday morning. And first guy in the chair, he got him laid back and all lathered up. He strapped that old razor strap on that strop. And he leaned the man's head back and put that razor down to his throat and said, "Are you ready to meet God?" Last they saw him, that man was gone, shaving cream and all, across the street. You get the message?
Yes. Amen.
People need Jesus. That's never going to change. I don't care how evil, how bad this world gets, they're going to need Jesus clear up until he comes again.
Amen.
And you're rubbing elbows with them. You're rubbing shoulders with them. You're the Andrew. You're the Peter. You're the ones that are finding the Nathaniels and all the others. You're there to find Peter and bring them to Jesus. You're standing on your feet this morning saying, "I'm ready to sign up." All right. You and God right now. Raise your right hand. If you mean business, raise your right hand and look God straight in the eye. God, come on. God, I'm ready.
I'm ready
to sign on the lines.
I'm ready to go get them.
Just fill me with your spirit.
Fill me with your presence.
You've done so much for me already. I'm ready to lay everything on the line and bring men to you, Jesus, so they can see you, follow you, and be with you in your presence. Amen.